My name's Sarah, and I'm a preschool teacher. And I brought in a policy whereby my kids can wear pronoun badges, and they wear a different pronoun badge every day. Sometimes, maybe they're feeling like a she that day, they can wear a she badge, and the next day, maybe they're feeling more he, and they can wear a he badge. Of course, some of them just wear a she every day, but that doesn't matter. The important thing is they have the choice. And so I really enjoy teaching preschool, and I look forward to teaching your kids. Hello, 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 and welcome to this edition of The Jolly Heretic. Now, today I would like to talk about people who, or women who have unnatural coloured hair. I would like to talk about the psychology of the kind of people that have unnatural coloured hair. Why do people have unnatural coloured hair? The answer is, as you probably would have expected, is that it is because they are mentally ill. But this is something for which myself and my colleague Emil Kierkegaard have now, we've done a paper on this, and it's been accepted for publication. And so I thought I would look at it in some detail. Now, what we did was we got the OKCupid data set, which was a data set which was scraped from the OKCupid dating website by Emil, and it has numerous questions that you can fill out about yourself, and they go on and on and on. There's so many questions that you could fill out about yourself, and what we hypothesized that there would be a connection between unnatural coloured hair and having serious mental problems. That is, you know, hair that is green or purple or blue. Now, why did we hypothesize this? Well, for a number of reasons. First of all, in nature, you have what's called aposematic organisms, that is to say, noxious prey. The brighter or the more conspicuous the prey is, the more toxic it is and the more poisonous it is. And what that is telling the predator is, don't touch me, don't eat me, I am utterly toxic and you will be injured. And so toxicity and brightness or conspicuousness of colour have evolved in tandem as a way of saying, stay away. Now, could it be that we employ the same kind of method with regard to people and how we dress and how we present ourselves? Do we make ourselves bright or conspicuous as a way of saying, stay away? That was the first hypothesis. And the second hypothesis was that with people that are mentally ill, with people that are high in neuroticism, one of the things that develops is a strong desire for order and a strong desire for a conspicuous state of identity. There's a lot of research on this. When people are going through a period of being severely depressed, severely mentally ill, in which they think that the world doesn't make sense, in which they think that everything is chaos and everything is appalling, then one of the results of that is that they are attracted to fundamentalist, countercultural religious groups, which give them a strong sense of identity and a strong sense of who they are, that the world makes sense. In addition, when people are in such a state, they are attracted to religious cults and sects, and it has been found that a lot of people that have been in these kinds of cults and then leave them have been in them when they have been in a phase of intense mental instability, and then when they stop being in that phase, then they stop being in the cult and they leave the cult. In addition, there is evidence of a relationship between other conspicuous identities such as geek culture and being a goth and whatever, and depression, and also borderline personality disorder. Borderline personality disorder is related to neuroticism and depression. If you feel that the world is a dangerous and unstable kind of place and it's full of chaos and whatever, you want some sort of structure and order to your world, and that is given to you by a very strong sense of identity. Borderline personality disorder is this constant feeling of a fear of abandonment, insecurity, and sort of not knowing who you are, because everything is just this swinging chaos. It doesn't make sense, and so you can't understand the world and you can't understand your place in it, and so you deal with that by creating a very strong sense of identity. But that sense of identity is always unstable. Ultimately, because you have borderline personality disorder, you will start questioning that eventually, and you will start wondering if that's the case, and your sense of self will therefore be unstable, and you will eventually switch to another very strong sense of identity. And you see that conspicuously in someone like St. Paul on his road to Damascus, that he has this very strong sense of identity of persecuting Christians and hating Christians, and then he switches to another sense of identity, that is to say, being a very, very strong Christian. That is borderline personality disorder in action, that you have no clear, consistent sense of self across time, and that you sway according to a deep sense of insecurity into a new strong identity, but then that itself never ultimately totally assuages the strong sense of doubt of not knowing who you are, what you are in time and space, and so you switch to another identity, constantly looking for a way of making sense of the world and constantly looking for, in a sense, who you are. So that's what we hypothesised, and what we did was we got the OkCupid data, which is 68,000 people, most of whom are 66% of whom are Americans, and 31.7, that's the average age of these people. Obviously, they're looking for dates and whatever and hookups, and we looked at the relationships between mental instability, between having depression and so on, and various variables. Now, what we found was that there was a 0.33 correlation between having bright, unnatural hair colour and suffering from depression, anxiety, and these kinds of problems. There was a 0.31 correlation between being mentally unstable and being a vegetarian. Now that makes sense for a number of reasons. Firstly, because obviously being a vegetarian is a strong countercultural identity, so it makes sense in terms of borderline personality disorder that you would have this strong countercultural identity. Secondly, one of the ways that you would deal with depression and anxiety and negative feelings and feeling that you're rubbish would be by developing the idea that you were morally superior to other people, that you were better than other people, a kind of, if you like, vulnerable narcissism, that you were better than others, that you were superior to others. And one of the ways in which you can tell yourself that you're superior to others is by being a vegetarian. And so therefore you could expect that people that were mentally ill would be attracted to vegetarianism for that reason. It would assuage their sense of inferiority by making them feel, because of the act of being vegetarian, that they were superior to others. But of course, there would always be that deep-seated sense of inferiority and sense that they weren't worth much and sense of anxiety and whatever there. We also found a relationship between a strong relationship, 0.54, between being mentally ill and being left-wing. Well, we've looked at that on this channel before. I mean, that's replicated. We know why that's the case. Why that's the case. Left-wing involves controlling other people. It involves a sense of moral superiority and virtue signalling, and so on. You can see why that would be attractive to the sort of vulnerable narcissist borderline personality type. It involves a very strong sense of everything being unfair and envy and all that kind of thing, which is, you know, the essence of being left-wing, and so we can see why that relationship would be there. And there was also a 0.1 relationship, so a very weak relationship, between being mentally ill and having tattoos. And that also makes sense, of course, because what are you doing when you're having a tattoo? You are being different. You are asserting difference. You are asserting a strong sense of identity. So it would be consistent with borderline personality disorder that you assert a strong sense of self, a strong sense of who you are, to make up for the fact that deep down you're not sure who you are. The world doesn't make sense for you. The world's a dangerous place. And so you deal with that by grabbing hold of something and asserting, this is who I am, to give you a sort of sense of superficial certainty, which you lack. By stamping this on your body. And also it could be, well, there's another issue as well, which we'll look at in a minute, but that could be the main reason for this. So the first thing that I think is borderline personality. The second thing I think relates simply to the aposematic idea that we looked at earlier. You are kind of saying to people, stay away. I remember I was in Prisma in Oulu shopping, and there was this appalling woman with blue hair and whatever, and everything about her was screaming at me, stay away, don't come near me, don't mess with me, I'm crazy. And if you see the world as if you're a neurotic and you see the world as a dangerous, unstable place, this means that you don't trust people, this means that you fear the world, you fear people, the world is this unpleasant place, and you basically want people to stay away from you, like a wasp does or a bee does. And the way that you can make them stay away is by dyeing your hair an unnatural colour, so that you literally induce in them a sense of disgust, so that they will stay away, or at the very least treat you with caution. And I think it's similar with tattoos, particularly certain kinds of tattoos. It's a way of saying, skulls and sort of dark kind of images, stay away. And so this would be consistent with people that were mentally ill, that had high mental instability. They would want people to stay away. Another method could elevate fitness. So as we know, people tend to be sexually attracted to people who are relatively genetically similar to themselves. And this is because, of course, it means that if that's the case, then you pass on more of your genes by having sex with them and by having children with them. So you want to find people that are genetically relatively similar to you, both in order to collaborate with them in your own genetic interests and in order to pass on your genes and have children with them. Well, if you do this to yourself, then you are signalling to somebody else that has unnatural coloured hair, I'm like you. We should collaborate together. We are genetically similar. So in a world in which, very interesting this, in a world in which you can't trust people, in a world in which people are dangerous, in a world in which it's dangerous to sit down and have a conversation with people and spend time trying to work out if you're similar or if you're not similar, then it's a way of signalling very clearly, I am similar to you. And therefore, it is a marker upon which friendship, which ultimately is genetically related because people that are friends are more genetically similar to each other than two average members of the same population, or partners, again, more genetically similar to each other than two average members of the same population, can find each other in a context of perceived danger where nobody can be trusted. So I think it's developed for that reason as well. So it could be seen, in a sense, to elevate fitness for these kinds of people. But basically, it's three key things. It's a strong need to find a sense of identity, which is mediated by borderline personality disorder, where you have a weak sense of self. You don't know who you are. Because the world is so dangerous and whatever. You haven't developed a clear sense of trust of the world making sense, and you fear abandonment and all this because the world is an unstable place in which people love you and leave you, and so therefore. You are constantly searching for a world that is structured and ordered, but you never quite feel that it is. And one way that you can do this is by having a very, very strong, clear sense of identity, and you can achieve that by being conspicuously different from other people. And you can do that through dyeing your hair an unnatural colour. That's the first thing. The second thing is that dyeing your hair an unnatural colour is a way of asserting power and saying to people in a dangerous ecology, stay away from me, or at the very least, be careful of me, watch out. And the third thing is a way of finding people like you. So obviously, it is extremely dangerous and worrying. I was referencing earlier libs of TikTok. You may have seen our videos about this, libs of TikTok, where people upload, a woman uploaded videos of school teachers and whatever, who were women, talking about themselves, and they often had unnatural coloured hair. And so it's obviously very concerning that women that have unnatural coloured hair are allowed to be school teachers. Because those people, on average, compared to people that have natural coloured hair, are going to be mentally ill, are going to be vulnerable narcissists, are going to have borderline personality disorder, and basically are the kind of people that you should stay away from. And yet those people are teaching children. This is not good. Well, I hope this has been of interest. If it has, please subscribe. It helps most violently if you do that. Remember, I live stream Mondays and Thursdays at 7 p.m. UK time, 2 p.m. New York. I put up a video on Fridays. You can find ways to help the channel below. And I will see you soon. And goodbye!